What is good? What is good? What is really, really good, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages? If we're Black Entertainment, what's to welcome you to the NFL Review?
There we go. I like that one. That was a good one right there. There you go.
That's today, my name, so we will be talking about Tennessee Town. I am Big Ben. That man right the fucking next to me is the Hollywood Day to the Flipback. How you doing, pal?
You know, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Always doing great. We're talking about one of my favorite divisions. And one of yours now, too, is going to be because your favorite player, the GOAT, is in one of these teams that we're going to be talking about down here in the NFC South. It's a change. Yeah. Change of scenery.
Yeah. And my new quarterback used to play on one of these teams in the NFC South.
This is going to be a clusterfuck. But it's the most competitive division in football, even when the teams are all going 7-9 or or where they're all over 500.
So three teams last year, well, two teams in this division last year with 7-9.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to start off with the bottom feeders of last year. The New England Patriots' new quarterback was injured last season, and that is why this team, strictly on the back of Christian McCaffrey, went 5-11. The Carolina Panthers.
Yes, so Cam Newton played in the first two games of the season. Realized this shit was probably not going to work out. Needed to get surgery. He had some toe problems, some shoulder problems. So they relied on a backup. And they went 5-2. They went 5-2. So the first two losses were Cam. They won 5 in a row. And then they proceeded to lose the next 9 after that.
Yeah, they lost to the 49ers. The 49ers exposed that quarterback, and it all went to hell after that.
The whole neighborhood knows you, and they'll expose you.
So this team was exposed early in the season last year. So let's go ahead and see if let me check their COVID list real quick to see who opted out this season. So for the Carolina Panthers, Jordan Mack and Christian Miller, both linebackers. There's a lot of defensive players opting out.
A lot of defensive players in a team that's defensively starved, that couldn't stop a barn door from swinging open. That's how bad. It couldn't stop a barn door from swinging open without any wind coming in. That's how bad their freaking defense was last year. A historically good defense was crap. And subsequently, Ron Rivera was fired in the middle of the season.
He now coaches a football team.
A football team. That's it.
So let's go ahead and jump over to the draft real quick. We have, bam! So in 2020, they drafted Derek Brown, Yeter Gross-Matos, Jeremy Chinn, Troy Five Jr., Kenny Robinson, Bravion Roy, and S. Thomas Oliver III. That S is Stanley Thomas Oliver III.
Yes. So one of the best linebacking cores in the NFL was exposed by the fact that they lacked defensive tackles, edge rushers, corners to properly defend the outside. And subsequently, they fixed all that in the draft. They got two defensive tackles, an edge rusher, two safeties and two corners. They said, we're firing everyone because we were so trash last year. We are going to fire everyone and give new life to this defense. But they didn't fix any of their offensive problems because maybe they feel they don't have any offensive problems. Maybe
and
they
the
feel
sad, that. And the sad part about this is they made no offseason moves to get better. Except for the addition of Teddy Bridgewater.
So, Teddy Bridgewater is a hell of a quarterback.
And they got Robbie Anderson.
And Robbie Anderson was the Jets' number one wide receiver. Is he a number one wide receiver on another team? Who knows? We're going to find out this season, though.
When the Westier wide receivers consist of Pharoh Cooper, Ishmael Hyman, Keith Kirkwood, Tommy Lee Lewis, Marquand Michael, DJ Moore, Seth Roberts, Curtis Samuel, and Brandon Tystra. DJ Moore is the only one who actually did anything last season.
Who?
Besides,
who?
Yeah, exactly.
Who?
Exactly. Who? Exactly.
Oh, my Lord. But it seems to be the problem that the Carolina Panthers have always faced, even when Cam Newton was there. Name a great receiver out there outside of Steve Smith, and you can't say Devin Funchess because he wasn't like great.
Well, they had Chris Hogan, but he got hurt.
And subsequently, didn't he want to go back to New England? Where's he at now? I heard he wanted to go back to New England.
I think he ended up. Go ahead and talk about their lack of anything.
So the problems that Carolina's faced has always been they've relied too heavily on the stars that they have. So they relied too heavily on Cam Newton, didn't put anybody around Cam Newton to accentuate his skills. They drafted the one big receiver that was basically like a tight end but with a receiver tag on him. You remember him with the dreads, the big wide receiver.
Ain't that DJ?
No, it wasn't DJ Moore. No, that's different. I'm talking about the one big dude that they drafted like 4 years ago, and he was overweight, and he traded him to Kansas City.
So Chris Hogan joined Joe Flacco on the Jets.
Oh, my God. That sounds like they traded Joe Flacco. I mean, it sounds like they traded Chris Hogan for Robbie Anderson. That's what I feel like.
I think there was Chris Hogan and like a couple of draft picks for Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, I feel like that's exactly what happened. No shame in that. It's fine. No big deal.
Robbie Anderson.
No, it's not that Robbie Anderson is it, but historically, Carolina has been very bad when it comes to receivers. Historically. Robbie Anderson might be the difference maker, but I don't know any other people that you just told me after Robbie Anderson. So I have no idea how to grade this. Shrug.
So maybe their running back core will help you. Christian McCaffrey, Jordan Scarlett, Mike Davis, Trenton Cannon, and Reggie Bonatuffen.
I only know who Mike Davis is because he's a former 49er, and he filled in very good when Christian McCaffrey had to play wide receiver last year because they had no freaking wide receivers.
This team is garbage, dog.
So Mike Davis is a decent running back. After that, I have no idea who any of those dudes are either.
And on their defense, but used to have people like Julius Peppers,
he retired.
Their defense, huh?
I said Julius Pepper retired.
So did the linebacker number 55. What was his name?
Talking about Keekly.
Yeah, Mr. Concussion himself. He retired.
Yep.
So the only person on their defense that I know of, there's two of them, Shaq Thompson and Eli Apple.
Eli Apple, they just signed Eli Apple. That's recent. That wasn't even last year. That's recent.
Yeah. And same with Shaq. And Shaq Thompson was there last year.
Yeah, Shaq Thompson was there. They just re-signed him, and that's it. That's it. Carolina is in for problems. Teddy Bridgewater and – what's his name? Got a uphill battle ahead of him. I'll tell you that right now.
I didn't realize that team was gutted so fucking bad.
Well,
Bridgewater signed there.
Well, the problem is that they didn't have much of a team. Go ahead, bring it on.
So let's go ahead and jump on into the schedule, which they open up in Las Vegas against the Raiders. Then they go to Tampa Bay. Then the Chargers, Cardinals, Falcons, Bears, Saints, Falcons, Chiefs. Oh, God, they got the Chiefs and Buccaneers back-to-back. Then the Lions, Vikings, Broncos, Packers, the football game, and the Saints.
Jesus. Jeez. Okay. So the Raiders game, I think the Raiders are going to win that game.
Well, the Raiders are going to try and come out to prove a point because they're opening a brand new stadium in a brand new city.
Yeah, it's going to be that's going to be a stomp out. I think that right there is going to be a stomp out game in Vegas. Same thing with the Bucs. Tom Brady is going to come in with a let's just call a spade. Tom Brady is going to pick apart two rookie corners in Eli Apple. That's it. It's a wrap. It's done. He's gonna pick them apart. Bruce Arians is gonna be like, "Here's my clusterfuck of an offense. Tom, do them dirty." Okay, boss. That's exactly how that's gonna go. I think they'll steal one in
Now they're very drawn out.
Well, it's at home, so I'll be nice. They'll beat the Chargers. The Chargers are going to be one of those teams that I think they're going to go 1-15. But I digress. That's just for another show. It's for another show. We don't want to go too early, okay? But I think they'll beat the Chargers. They'll beat the Chargers. You see, I went full Stephen A. Smith on there. Right? But I digress.
I digress. I'm not going to talk about how trash they are and that they have no fans.
Hey, I don't.
Here's the thing. Here's what we got to realize about the Chargers this year. They're playing in front of empty arenas.
That's true. Let me see. So they'll lose to the Cardinals. So we're looking at 1-3 in the first four games of the season.
Maybe, if not 0-4.
You think they'll lose to the Chargers?
It's possible.
At home? You're brutal.
Okay. No, they're away. The Black are at home.
No, I thought Blue was at home. Oh, fuck. Okay, hold on then. So the Raiders are on the road.
Oh, yeah, the Raiders are on the road.
So then that, wait a minute. Okay, so.
I had them confused too, my man.
So the Raiders are on the road.
I say 0-1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I think 0-9 to start the season.
Is their running back still good? Is he still upright in Vegas?
Oh, the rookie?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been looking great in the fucking.
Okay, so the Raiders are gonna win that one.
Don't forget, Jason Witten is the Las Vegas Raiders.
That's all. Ooh. So then they'll still lose to Tampa because they got to play in Tampa. I think they'll beat the Chargers at home because it'll be like on the road because it's still a home game.
It doesn't matter because like I just said, the Chargers have been playing in front of no fans for 20 years. They are used to it.
Hey, Stan Humphries used to fill the seats. Oh.
Stan Humphries was more than 20 years ago.
And?
You have to remember, we've gone through Ryan Leaf, Drew Brees, and fucking Phillip Rivers in San Diego / LA since Stan Humphries played there.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Why?
So I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm giving them 3 wins. I'm giving them the football team, I'm giving them the Lions, and I'm giving them the Broncos.
I'm trying to find – this is one of You know what though? I'm gonna give them more credit than that. You're cruel and tragic. Hold on, give me a second here. Division games, I think they could split with the Falcons because they always play the Falcons stuff. I don't think they'll split with Tampa. I think Tampa goes 2-0 on them. And then I think that New Orleans goes 2-0 on them. Unless New Orleans is in line for if they win division. We gotta see what New Orleans is like. Because if they get to that point at the end of the season where, you know, the New Orleans is like 12-3, already locked down the first round bye, then it might be something else.
Like I said, I'm at 3-13 with these.
So hold on, let me go to the second. Give me a second.
I just said I'm at 3-13.
I know you are. Give me a second.
Listen here, Tom Brady has fallen off a cliff 20 years ago, okay? Since you're gonna be Stephen A. Smith, I'll be Max Kellerman, okay?
Look at that. But they have to play the great Aaron Rodgers, that bad man, in week 15. There you go. See, there's your Stephen A. Smith plug.
Aaron Rodgers might not be the quarterback in week 15 of the Green Bay Packers.
Why did you go there? I didn't say you know.
For all you know, the rookie is going to sign out and the fucking Packers are going to trade Aaron Rodgers to the goddamn Chargers.
Oh, that would be a hellified punishment. Oh, my God. Trade me to the Bears. No, we have something special for you.
No, you can go back home. You can go back home to California.
Damn. Okay. All jokes aside, ladies and gentlemen. You said 3-13?
I said 3-13.
I think they could beat the Lions. I'm pretty sure they could beat the Lions.
Like I said, I gave them the Lions, the Broncos, and the football team.
I give them the Chargers, and I give them one game against the Falcons. I'd even give them the Bears.
No, because Foles might be starting by then.
Who?
Foles.
Might be. You think in week 6 they're going to start? Week 7? No.
No, I'm talking about Foles for the Bears. He might be starting by week 6.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to check what the week is. When is this starting? 4, 11,
yeah,
8?
Week 6, yeah.
Is it still a bye week? When is their bye week? Week 13. God damn.
Yeah, they have a wild week.
They got a walk of shame. Fuck.
Their bye week is the same number of losses I gave them this year.
Oh, my God. Holy mother of fuck. Give me – I'll do 5-11. Oh, I don't see – I can't see them just
– 5-11?
5-11. That's – oh, my God. The only way that they're not 5-11.
I think you're being very gentle. I think you have a soft spot for the Carolina Panthers for summer.
No, I have a soft spot for McCaffrey and Bridgewater. I think McCaffrey and Bridgewater as a team are a better team than most of the teams that they're playing against. Definitely better than the Chargers and whatever the fuck they got going on. Definitely better than the Lions and whatever the fuck they got going on. Definitely better than the Washington football team and whatever the fuck they got going on. And I think they split the series with Atlanta, and they pull off a victory against Chicago. I think that's about the five that I can guarantee. That's about it. Like, I don't really see nothing else. All right. So, like, that's
All right, so we're going to move on to probably the most improved team in the NFC. They last year, their quarterback threw for over 5,000 yards, over 30 touchdowns, and over 30 interceptions. And that man's name is Jameis Winston. He has been replaced by TB12 because the Buccaneers went 7-9 last year, even though Jameis Winston probably lost 8 of those games.
No, they were really outshined in 6 of those games, okay? They were really outshined in 2 of those games, Jameis Winston lost them six of them, okay? That's to be fair. Because let's go back. There's, what was it, three or four games that he literally threw a pick six at the end of the game to lose the game.
You're not wrong.
I think there was three for sure. But Jameis Winston, God bless Jameis Winston. And then come to find out that he was playing half blind through the entire season. Was just like the icing on the cake. I'm like, wait a minute. You threw 31 touchdowns. The most touchdowns in the NFL.
You led the league in yards.
Yeah. Led the league in yards. If you told me that somebody threw 31 touchdowns and led the league in yards, you'd be like, well, book him as the fucking MVP. Fuck, what happened? Why is that the MVP?
Oh, he also threw 30-plus interceptions.
Whoo, shit.
And one of those interceptions was O.J. Howard's fault when he tried to catch the ball behind his back.
Whoo, shit. Yeah.
So, as far as the COVID holdouts, they only have one offensive tackle, Brad Seaton.
He doesn't matter.
Let's go over the people they've signed real quick. So I call them the most improved team of this fucking season.
Yeah.
We got, let's see, of course, Tom Brady, Joe Haig, and LeSean McCoy. They also traded for Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
They brought back Ndamukong Suh. They brought back Jason Pierre-Paul. They brought back Blaine Gabbert to back up Tom Brady.
Oh, my God. Why? Why? Why would you do that?
They let Peyton Barber walk because he was a failure to the Redskins.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Don't hate me. The football team.
Oh. Give me a second. I'm looking up something.
All right. Are you doing that? I'm going to go into the draft real quick.
Yeah, go to the back real quick. I'm looking up. All right. So, all jokes aside, okay? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are, on paper alone, look like a Super Bowl team. So, let's call a spade a spade. Between what they did in signings and what we're going to talk about the draft in just a second, and they, on paper, look like a legitimate. Going 7-9 with Jameis Winston was probably the biggest blessing that they ever had. And then getting Tom Brady right before the draft to know where they stood was an even bigger blessing. So they didn't have to go draft the quarterback. They didn't have to pay Jameis Winston $40 million a year that he didn't deserve. They didn't have to go through all this mess. Okay? They paid Tom Brady $25 million for the next 2 years. $25 million a year in the next 2 years. They saved $15 million in space, able to get Gronk. Get some really good, positioning in the draft. Drop the draft on this for us real quick. I want to.
Don't forget, they also signed LeSean McCoy, who still has legs.
Yeah.
All right, here's the draft.
Go ahead.
Here's our draft. We got Tristan Wirfs, Antoine Winfield Jr., Keshawn Vaughn, Khalil Davis, Raymond Callis, Tyler Johnson, and Tappell Russell.
Look at that man meat, Tristan Wirfs. Look at him. Just that's a man with meat on him. look at that meat. Look at that meat. That's a Vince McMahon wet dream right there. What did Big E say? He just loves to get in there with meat slapping meat. Okay, that's what that is. You see that? Look at that man. Look at him.
Well, even Khalil Davis. Look at all that beef.
Look at that. Look at that meat. Look, Khalil Davis. Look at that meat. Look at that beef. Look at the thickness on that. Oh my God. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Meat slapping meat.
And how Antoine Winfield Jr. fell to them to the second round of the draft is beyond me, because he's a good wide receiver.
Oh yeah. Antoine Winfield? very underrated. And Keyshawn Vaughn at that pick right there. Dude, this, even Chappelle Russell and Raymond Calais, is they're decent pickups. I'm surprised that both of those went so low, but because they went with small-time colleges. You see what I'm saying?
Well, and also Tyler Johnson. You got to be a good backup for the top boy.
Yeah. This right here is they established, they got the past, established the future. They ended up making out so wonderful in this draft. Listen.
You know what I see when I look at this draft?
What?
I see Tom Brady's name.
You know what I see in this draft? Meat. No, it's supposed
to. We got the meat. We got the meat.
Meat slapping meat, goddammit. No, but for real, this is awesome. I this is why I love fucking Bruce Arians. You know what I'm saying? This is like, he's my hero, okay? Because you remember when he was in Arizona, remember how, outside of the quarterback bullshit that he did, you see how stellar his draft picks were, okay? Yep. Like, he knows how to draft anything that's not a quarterback. He's a shit quarterback drafter, but he could draft every other position like it's nothing.
Well, for the first time in his career, he doesn't have to be the quarterback whisperer.
Exactly. But technically he is, because he's going to give Tom Brady a youth movement. He's going to put Tom Brady in the same position he put Carson Palmer in, where he knows what he's doing. At the same time, he can be more hands off. Like, Tom Brady doesn't make the mistakes that Carson Palmer does. He just says, you know what? I'm going to put the offense in place, and we're going to do it right, and I'm going to protect you by any means necessary, but I'm going to also put the pieces around you so we can make a long run without you having to stress yourself out.
Well, it's also already been made public that Tom Brady has been given the blessing to call his own plays.
Oh, yeah. And the thing that he said, though, it's hard learning the Bruce Arians playbook. He got in trouble, you know, a little bit of trouble for getting the playbook sent to him personally by Bruce Arians.
And he also got in trouble with Florida law enforcement and the NFL for taking players out of practice while everything was still on lockdown.
So, listen. Let's go to the schedule. I love this. This schedule. I took a preview of the schedule. I'm in love. Let's go.
All right, here we go with the 2020 schedule. They open up against the Saints. Then they got the Panthers, the Broncos, the Chargers, the Bears, the Packers, the Raiders, the Giants, the Saints, the Panthers, the Chargers, the Rams, the Chiefs, and their bye week. And the Vikings, the Falcons, the Lions, and the Falcons once again.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
So, during this offseason, Tom Brady made an Instagram post saying, yeah, Drew Brees can have all my NFL records, so I'm coming to take your division.
Ooh, yes. let me tell you what so this is perhaps the all-star run. Like, this is the all-star run of quarterbacks. Like, basically, these are heavyweight title fights this whole season. Brady Roethlisberger week one. Must see.
Oh, that's preseason, bro. Brady Breeze
week
one.
Brady Breeze week one, okay?
And Brady versus Bridgewater.
Yeah, Brady versus Bridgewater. And Brady versus the one dude, I keep forgetting his name, the young gunslinger from Michigan State, that basically worships Tom Brady in week three, okay?
Yeah. And Tyrod Taylor in week four.
Yep. And then maybe the Nick Foles rematch in week five.
Aaron Rodgers.
In week six. Derek Carr. The other dude that worships Tom Brady, Daniel, whatever his name
is. Daniel Jones.
Okay, Drew Brees in week nine. Bridgewater again in week 10.
Jared Goff in week 11.
Yep.
Then Mahomes in week 12.
Yep.
Then Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, and Matt Ryan.
Heavyweight title fights. meat slapping meat. That's what that is.
You want to know what the... Okay, so I'm just going to say this right now. Tom Brady has never lost to Drew Brees.
No. Meat slapping meat.
He knows how to beat Kansas City.
Meat slapping meat.
He does struggle away from home. So he does struggle in Denver, so that one might be a little weird.
It's still going to be meat slapping meat.
And all your meat slappiness. So looking at the schedule, do the Buccaneers have what it takes on the field, not on paper, but on the field to make some noise? And if you notice, I actually got a picture of Chris Godwin right there, not wearing the number 12 because he gave it to Tom Brady, wearing his New Jersey number 14. And let's talk about, before we actually break down the schedule and give our prediction the way they're going to be, I want to bring up the receiving core that Tom Brady has in his possession now. All right, we got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Scott Miller, Bryant Mitchell, Justin Watson, Josh Pearson, Jaden Mickens, Tyler Johnson, Cyril Grayson, John Hurst.
So let's break this down. They have the best pro set. They have the best pro set offense right now, because the pro set offense meaning they got two running backs, two receivers, one tight end. Okay, that's either.
Don't forget they got Gronk and OJ Howard.
No, that's what I'm saying though. But look. So pro set wise, so if we're running a pro set with two running backs, two receivers, a tight end, and Tom Brady, best in football, point blank. Period. Now we're going. We'll do a three receiver set. Still in one tight end, best in football. The two tight end set, best in football. Four wide receiver set, best in football. Four wide receivers and a tight end, best in football. Fuck. What are you going to do?
Tom Brady hasn't had this type of weaponry since Randy Moss and Wes Welker.
This is like going from the weapon cache of Russia to having the weapon cache of the United States of America, okay? That's what it is. That's where we're at.
Oh, man. So, I know people are going to be like, oh, he's just a homer with the Tom Brady. Yes, I am still a fan of Tom Brady, even though he is no longer on the New England Patriots. I believe, looking at the schedule, and let me go ahead and bring that back up real quick so I can have another shot at it. I believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go 12-4.
So let's do this. So split the season with that. I'll say they'll split the season series with Atlanta. They'll split the season series with New Orleans. Okay, because we can't discount that Atlanta's back and New Orleans is New Orleans. We can't discount that at all. Okay, because to do that would be foolish. They beat both Tampa Bay twice. Not Tampa Bay. They beat Carolina twice. Excuse me. So that's 4-2 off top. I can see them beating Jacksonville at home, Tennessee at home.
Okay, the first four games are not on.
I keep fucking up. What the fuck's wrong with me? Okay, so then I can see them beating the Chargers at home, the Packers at home, the Rams at home. Ooh, that three games homestand at the end. Ooh, that's nasty.
Yeah, the Rams, Chiefs, and Vikings.
Yeah. So
they even have to travel for a month because their bye week is in there too.
Yep. I would agree with 12-4. That's actually very simple. 12-4, because I think they can win six out of the 10 non-division games.
But yeah, they're gonna be straight up fun to watch.
Yeah,
and that's all that really matters. It's gonna be interesting to see what Tom Brady does with this new coaching since he's been with Belichick for 20 years. See how he is with Mr. Arians. So next up, we're going to go with the most disappointing team last year because they, on paper, they look like one of the best. But they really fizzled out early in the season, then picked it up halfway through the season. We're going to go with Matt Ryan and his Atlanta Falcons.
So this is a product of too many injuries, too many bad things happening, and not being able to recover from it. They started the season as the worst team in football and finished out the season as one of the best teams in football.
Their beginning season really screwed them.
Yeah, they went 0-5. I think it was 0-5 or they went 1-6 in the first seven games and ended up 7-9. I think that's how that went.
Yeah.
Like, I was shocked that they ended up 7-9 by the time it was all said and done. I'm looking at this as the Falcons are still tough. They're still the Falcons.
Matt Staub was still on the Falcons.
Oh, yeah. He came back, what, last year?
No, I thought he retired.
No. Remember, what happened is that after they drafted Deshaun Watson, Matt Staub was in limbo, and he decided to go back to Atlanta. Atlanta was like, bring him back. So they did. They brought him back. And he played last year, too, oddly enough, when Matt Ryan was injured.
When Matt, yeah, he got hurt for a couple weeks.
Yeah. That really hurt them. That injury, the Matt Ryan being hurt, Julio Jones being hurt, Devonta Freeman being hurt, their other running back being hurt.
Calvin Ridley being hurt.
Yep. It was all bad. And by the time they got everybody back, it was too late, but they played really good football. You didn't want to have to play them late in the season. So to me, if I'm basing it off of that, basing it off the fact that they got Todd Gurley, who, if they're going to limit his carries, because they don't have Devonta Freeman. Devonta Freeman went somewhere else. But, man, this is something else. I'm really thinking about the Falcons situation. They have an opportunity to raise some eyebrows. Who did they pick up in the draft? Well, before we get that, let's talk about our COVID people. Did they have any COVID?
They had zero COVID holdouts.
All right, so let's talk about who they picked up then in the free agency first.
So we got free agency?
Yeah, free agency.
Not bad. Let's see. On their thing, it doesn't say much. Yeah, I'm not seeing anybody. They lost Vic Beasley.
I know they lost Devonta Freeman.
They lost Freeman. They gained Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
Juwan Green, Jalen McCleskey. Yeah, I'm not seeing any other like big moves.
No.
With the exception of Austin Edwards, who's a decent defensive end.
Yeah, they got Dante Fowler. I know they got picked up Dante Fowler. That was one of the big ones. Davison was one of the filling type guys.
Yeah.
They brought back Keith Smith. I know that. And then, yeah, but the big one, was Fowler and Todd Gurley. The thing is I don't – my problem is Todd Gurley, I don't think he's a full-time running back anymore. We talked about this.
No, we talked about this. He's got arthritis in both knees. He's been having issues the last 2 years staying on the field.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, he's one of the best in the game. But the problem is he's never going to be healthy again.
No, which means they got to limit his carries to 10, 12 carries. They need to find a two-headed monster is what they really need to do. Okay, that's kind of where I'm at with it. Like if they had one,
they let them both walk.
Yeah, I wouldn't have let Devonta Freeman walk. I think Devonta Freeman and Todd Gurley would have made an awesome pairing, but Devonta Freeman had the same problem that Todd Gurley had, which is can fucking stay healthy. So I guess we're going
to jump into the draft picks real quick.
Yes, sir.
All right, so in the draft, they signed A.J. Terrell, Marlon Davidson, Matt Hennessy, Mikhail Walker, Jalen Hawkins, and Sterling Hoffrichter. Only one offensive player, and it was an offensive lineman from Temple. The rest are all defense and special teams.
Yeah, which is like the draft was meh.
I'm a little weirded out that they didn't draft a running back.
I'm also weirded out they didn't sign another running back in free agency. That's kind of like, all right, so you knew what you had to go through. You knew what you had to bring in, and you still didn't bring in one.
So here's their running back core going into this season.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley, Brian Hill, Quadri Olison, Ito Smith, and they got two fullbacks.
That's nothing to shake your head at. Especially when you know that Todd Gurley's not a full-time running back. That's something else. Maybe the young guys can prove something and see what's popping, but would you advertise?
Brian Hill, I think, is their best backup runner besides Todd Gurley.
Yeah, like if you're advertising Todd Gurley, you have to show Todd Gurley, and that's kind of where the problem is at now. So, I don't know. We're going to have to see on that one. Schedule-wise, we know they got to play the entire NFC South, and so
here comes their schedule. We got Seattle, Dallas, the Bears, the Packers, the Panthers, the Vikings, the Lions, the Panthers, the Broncos, the Saints, the Raiders, the Saints, the Chargers, the Bucks, the Chiefs, and the Bucks.
That's a tough one.
That last 3, 6, 7 games, with the exception of the Chargers, nasty.
They might be playing Tom Brady for a chance to get into the fucking playoffs. That's the tough one, though. That's when you look at it.
Yeah, because you have the Saints in week 10 and week 12. Then you got the Bucks in week 15 and 17.
Yeah.
Kansas City in the middle.
Ooh, I would not want to be having to play the Bucks twice in Kansas City. One of those has got to give. As I said, I think they'll split the series with Tampa. And odds are, I think they'll lose the first game. I think they'll lose the road game to Tampa, and they'll lose the game to Kansas City because they're playing at Kansas City. They're not even going to be home towards the end of the year, which actually, scheduling-wise, makes sense because of the bowl games that happen at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So splitting the series with Tampa, splitting the series with New Orleans, splitting the series with Carolina. Maybe. Or maybe they'll win both. No, they'll split the series. I said they'll split the series. They got to go to Minnesota and face Minnesota. I don't think that's going to happen. Detroit's going to be.
I have them at 6-10.
So 3, Detroit.
I don't think they survived that back half of the season.
Detroit, L.A. I'm surprised they don't play the Rams this season like the other one, but I think that's something different. Rams. 6-10, huh? No, 7-9. I see 7-9.
All right. See, I don't think, because honestly, I don't think Todd Gurley sees past the Broncos game.
Oh, but here's my thought. At some point, that defense is who they are now. That defense is actually good enough to win them some games.
Is this the season that Dan Quinn loses his job at the end of the year?
Well, he was about to lose his job had he not transferred defensive duties to his assistant, who changed that defense into a monster. You see, that defense gave us fits in San Francisco.
Yeah.
We lost that game because of that defense.
Well, you also lost that game because of somebody not falling backwards but falling forwards on a tackle and tackling Julio Jones in the back of the leg and letting him cross the goal line.
Yeah. Remember, we're still dealing with Julio Jones. This is the NFC South is a division of really good quarterbacks and a really good running back or a receiver. And that's that. Make no mistake about it. The Falcons have a good quarterback and a good receiver. I say
still call him Maddie. I would still call him Maddie Meltdown until he wins the championship.
I say 7-9.
Yeah, I see 6-10.
Until something happens. Like, unless somebody steps up in the running back field, like if Todd Gurley feels no pain, that's just where I look at.
All right. So next up, we have the Kings of the South last year. The team with four quarterbacks on roster right now, with Drew Brees, Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, and their draftee, Tommy Stevens. The New Orleans Saints went out there and did their thing last year, 13-3. They lost to the Vikings in the playoffs because they can't seem to beat the Vikings. As far as COVID holdouts, we're just going to start doing these early in the thing. Tight end Jason Vanderlaan and tight end Cole Wick are both holding out due to COVID. So they lost two tight ends due to COVID situation.
Yeah. So the Drew Brees-led New Orleans Saints are they're not an old team, but they're old because of Drew Brees. And by proxy, Sean Payton. By signing Jameis Winston, it's kind of the same situation with Teddy Bridgewater. It's a one-year prove it. If we need you, let's see what you can do when we need you. They're probably going to need Drew. They're probably going to need Jameis Winston at some point in the season for a few games. I don't think.
My thing is this. Them signing Jameis Winston and drafting a quarterback really upset Taysom Hill.
Well, Taysom did. I'm not going to sit there and lie to you. But Taysom Hill, they don't deem Taysom Hill as a quarterback. They deem him as a weapon. He's Cordell Stewart. He's our modern-day Cordell.
But ain't that what you need in the NFL right now?
That's debatable. I mean,
Mahomes, Jackson, fucking Bridgewater.
Yeah, but all right. Their offense is not designed for Taysom Hill being a full-time quarterback. Their offense is designed for a gunslinger, a smart gunslinger, which is odd why they signed Jameis Winston. But maybe they feel that because he got his eyes fixed, he can see into the future now. Maybe he can see the interceptions before they happen.
Taysom Hill. You don't want to use him as a quarterback, but you don't want to give this man a chance to go anywhere else because you put a first round tender on the man.
Yeah.
So he couldn't leave.
Yeah, exactly. So he
I don't like that bit. See, I think that's changed business to me.
Is it though? Let's think about it. This is what they signed up for. This is what the Players Association.
I know. I just want to see Taysom Hill actually on a team leading a team. I just want to see what happens.
I don't think he's that good enough. This is coming from a guy that is a Kaepernick fan through and through. And that's what you're going to end up with when you put in Taysom Hill. You're going to get, maybe 2-3 good years out of him until you don't have a good offensive coordinator that knows exactly how to use him.
And then they did give him a 2-year, $20 million extension.
Yeah, because it's a weapon. They can put him anywhere. But you want Taysom Hill to lead a whole entire team. I don't think that's going to work out the way you think it's going to work out. And New Orleans knows this, but they also know in certain situations that Taysom Hill makes sense because now it changes the entire dynamic of what you do with the offense. He can catch a ball just as good as he can throw one, and he can run a ball just the same. But putting him in charge of a whole entire offense, I think it's going to be suicide, career suicide for a lot of people. Maybe on like the Ravens, it makes sense. You trade them to Baltimore for a first round pick. Do you think Baltimore is going to give up a first round pick for Taysom Hill when essentially, if they really want to, they can go out and get Colin Kaepernick or re-sign RG3, who in the spot
you are subtly putting Colin Kaepernick in every episode we do.
I said subtly. I'm just – because who else – all right, I won't put Colin Kaepernick, but who else is there that you can compare Taysom Hill to? Nobody. Just saying. Compare him to somebody else. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Triple dog if you want.
So Taysom Hill is basically Josh Allen without the strong arm.
Yes. Yes. He's Lamar Jackson with receiving skills.
All right. So let's go ahead and take a look at their draft.
Okay.
They only had 4 picks. And they got Cesar Ruiz, Zach Brown, Adam Trautman, and Tommy Stevens. It's a good thing they drafted a tight end since 2 of theirs decided to hold out due to COVID.
They did good. They did actually fairly well. They I mean, for 4 draft picks, they got an offensive lineman, linebacker, another tight end, a quarterback who's probably going to be a project. So, I mean, it's not bad.
So then they're signing the signings in the offseason are Malcolm Jenkins, Michael Burton, Emmanuel Sanders, Dietrich Nichols, Jameis Winston, Margus Hunt, Ty Montgomery, Adam Ciccolo, James Hurst, Nigel Bradham, and Benny Fowler.
It's not bad. The Saints are who they are, though. At the end of the day, it's Michael Thomas. It's Alvin Kamara.
And Latavius Murray.
Latavius Murray. They're still there. And Drew Brees. The Saints are the Saints.
And the wide receivers, you now have Austin Carr. You got fucking Emmanuel Sanders and Michael Thomas, which and Marquez Callaway, who had a good season last year. Then you add Jared Cook at tight end, too.
True.
No, they're gonna be a top.
The Saints are who we thought they were.
as long as they don't play the Vikings in the playoffs, they should be fine.
The Saints are who we thought they were.
Let me pull up the schedule. Give me a second. So, Drew Brees signed a 2-year deal. Do you think that's a good thing?
A 2-year deal? Yeah. I think he has one in a possible left in him at this point in his career. I don't know if he's trying to outpace Tom Brady. If that's what this is. But, you know, I kind of think it is. I think there's a little bit of a rivalry. I think, you know, between two old men, you know what I'm saying? I think Drew Brees be feeling some type of way, especially now that he's in the NFC South. I ain't mad at it. Drew Brees is Drew Brees. You know what I'm saying?
Like Tom said, I'm here to take you. You have my records. I'm here to take your division.
Yeah. But Drew Brees, I mean, but Tom about to sling that damn ball, though, with Bruce Arians at the helm. Shit.
Mm-mm. No doubt.
So where's the schedule? Give me that schedule!
I am. Calm down. I accidentally did what I did with the Bears, so I had to go find the 2020 schedule. So I'm just waiting for it to pop up now. So
old man shakes fist at things.
Yeah, that feels like a great way. God damn it, why did you crash? Come on, fucking slow ass piece of shite. All right, we're going to force this update on you so nothing works anymore.
Yay!
Windows. So here's what I'm looking at as a schedule right now. So just give me a second.
Go ahead.
While that's booting up, I'll tell you what they got. Wait. I think we got some life here. Hold on.
Yeah, got it? Hold
on. I think we have some life. We have some life. All right. So we got the Buccaneers, the Browns, the Falcons, the Giants, the football team, the Ravens, the Vikings, the Rams, the Bengals, the Eagles, the Falcons, the Cowboys, the Buccaneers, the Panthers, the Steelers, and the Panthers.
So this is going to be the toughest schedule that the Saints have had in the last few years. Hands down. Look at it. Look at that schedule. Let's let's take the guaranteed wins out of the equation. So let's take the football team. Let's take I said they're not going to split the season with the Panthers. They're going to beat the Panthers twice.
The Bengals.
Let's take the guaranteed split from Atlanta. And then the split from Tampa. Let's take those out of the equation. They got to play the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Vikings, the
Ravens.
The Ravens. Oh, the Giants. Take that one out too. So we've basically booked them for 7 guaranteed wins. The rest is where the fun happens.
I got him at 10-6.
I think that's right about where I have him. 10-6. 10-6.
It is scary that we think so much like
that. Well, this season is also too. It's kind of like, you know, we're really on the same page this season.
Yeah.
So 10-6. Yeah, 10-6. I'm looking at that.
Buckingham matchups are going to be must-watch. The Cowboys matchup is a must-watch. The Ravens matchup is a must-watch. The Browns matchup is interesting because the Browns almost beat them while the Browns were failing last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, they got the Saints got they got the Thanksgiving game against the Cowboys, and then they got a Thursday night football game prior. This is something else. Like, when you look at it, it's like, ooh, my.
Well, that's what happens when you're the best team in your conference at the end of the season.
Yeah.
You get that toughness.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody ever said playing football was easy. We both did it. So, 10-6, which means that the Buccaneers are going to win that division according to our records.
Yeah, according to what we said, yeah. The Buccaneers are going to win the NFC South, which they could have done last year had Jameis only threw 15 interceptions.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very freaking true. Which then brings in the question, because we've only covered the NFC North, which what do we have the Vikings at?
1 second. We have the Vikings at 12-4. So in the NFC North, I had the Vikings at 12-4. You had them at 11-5.
Okay. And then the Packers, we had at what, 10-6? We agreed on 10-6?
I have it 8-8. You have it 9-7.
9-7, okay. So right now the
Buccaneers have the first round bye.
Yeah, according to how we base it on. Yes, that's what it looked like. That's what I was trying to allude to. So that's so
that
what
means the Saints got. That means the Saints got lose to the Vikings in the playoffs again.
Oh. It's so cold in the D. Tell me how we're supposed to keep peace. Oh, my bad.
It's so cold in the D. I supposed to eat. Anyway, so this has been Sinful Black Entertainment bringing you the NFL preview NFC South edition.
Yes, dirty South. Dirty.
We have to do the Dirty Bird. Do the Dirty Bird just for Jamal Anderson real quick.
You see all those pages at the bottom, people? Make sure you follow, like, subscribe, every single one of those pages. Sinful Black TV on YouTube. Sinful Black on Twitter. Sinful Black Sports on Facebook. The Twitch program launching real soon. That's the link up. We got you popping on there. And, of course, make sure you check out the podcast anywhere that you find a podcast. If you're not listening to this already on audio, you can find us anywhere podcasts are. Just look up Sinful Blacks, look up the Overtime Sports Show. We're popping, baby. We're popping. Popping like Orville Redenbacher.
So over on YouTube, go ahead, like, comment, and subscribe. Hit that bell so you know when videos are live and in color. If you're on Facebook, like and subscribe, share with your friends who like sports to be like, hey, they talk shit about your football team.
That's right.
Go give them a piece of your derogatory mind. Anyway, I'm Big Sin. That man right there, that is Hollywood J to the Blizzak. And we are out of this bit.
I think I broke something.